All right, we're back for the second half. Hopefully not as long. We are going to make this short and sweet because I am crashing as we speak. I need Santa to bring me some uppers for Christmas. That's all I need. So, Santa, if you're hearing, get me some coffee, whatever, you know, whatever you think is appropriate in my stocking. But we're going to go over some college football games here because the playoffs do start tomorrow. We should record this on Wednesday. There's no way I can get this out in time unless. All right. So tomorrow, Alabama, Oklahoma. It would have been nice of you to put the seeds here, you know, in the rankings.
But 8-9 8-9 Rome.
Cool. Who's 8? Oklahoma?
That's correct.
All right. Alabama, 1 point. That's it?
That's it, Rome.
That's a pick 'em. 41 over under. A little low, don't you think?
Oklahoma's got a great defense.
They do. They do. By the way, real quick, what'd you guys think of the Heisman ceremony? I didn't even know it was happening. I totally forgot about it. This has been like one of the most underwhelming Heisman races in recent memory. And as much as like props, like, you know, Mendoza, well, deserving, I guess. I feel like he won it because his team beat out the number one team in the country. He didn't play lights out, but more like a numbers guy playing the system.
So good who would career. You give him the Heisman to, Rome?
I would have given it to the Notre Dame's big man that's just declared for the draft. I thought he was the most deserving player in college football this year. I would have liked him to see him to come back so they can try to vie for national championships and they got ripped off this year. Although I did not think that they're the fifth best team in the country, even though that's what the odds said. I did like them to make some noise. And I think when we talked about it at the beginning of the year, it was them. I think I picked Ole Miss, was not anticipating Lane Kiffin to leave. And then we had like somebody else. I don't remember. I have to go back on the pod, but and then Pavia is really interesting. Him cussing out the Heisman voters and all that stuff.
I mean, that's not the only thing look. That's interesting about the whole Heisman thing. I think that's what you're getting to, Rome, because I did not see the ceremony. I just know Pavia gave the middle finger to everybody.
I saw a clip, yeah, and he's just looking a little too blingy, you know, looking like he's going to like some mafia nightclub, like too many podcasts with like that one guy and doing the media rounds. I don't know. I think the Heisman got it right, though, at least picking Mendoza over Pavia. But any thoughts on the Heisman? No?
I don't know. You said it was the most, you didn't know it was happening, uninspiring. I mean, honestly, I haven't watched the Heisman thing in like 20 years. So, I mean,
yeah, it's not
good. This ain't the good old days of the USC, you know, Texas time when you had.
That was the good old days, huh?
And Bush and Leinert and all that type of stuff. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. The Heisman's decided on, hey, it's the best quarterback on the best team in the country. And then boom, that's your Heisman winner. Like it's not much more than that for the most part. Besides what we get last year was probably one of the few exceptions where they gave it to Travis Hunter, but
I forgot who won it last year already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hunter won it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You talked about, and I'll just say, cause I think Jeremiah Love was a worthy candidate too, but I had a friend who's a, you know, obviously a hater of my teams and stuff going, like if you compared, Jeremiah Love's stats versus, why am I blanking on Boise State running back from last year?
Genty.
Genty stats were like crazy compared to Jeremiah Love's stats. And he didn't win the Heisman. So just.
Years are different.
Well,
years
I mean, it's different. Genty would have won any other year except Hunter was just a two-way player.
Yep.
That was a basically good to star player on both sides of the ball. And college football hasn't had that a player like him really ever, or at least maybe not since the 50s or 60s. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. I guess we'll move on. Alabama, Oklahoma. Aaron, break it down for us.
Yeah, this is a rematch from a game about 5 weeks ago, which Oklahoma went into Alabama and won outright. I like Oklahoma here, -1, to beat Alabama again. I mean, Kellen DeBoer, obviously, if he loses his game, maybe the seat gets hotter. Maybe it feels a lot better and cooler going to Michigan. I know he's kind of denied wanting to leave. But, you know, Alabama's a tough job. It's a tough gig. And if you lose this game, you know, the fans are going to want you gone and they're going to welcome you with open arms, and they got a lot of money in Michigan and you've got nothing associated with what's going on over there. So I think Kellen DeBoer, he's got an exit if he loses this game. Brent Venables, Oklahoma, that defense I think is a difference. I think they show up again. Pit pressure on Simpson, Ty Simpson. I like the Sooners to advance, get to the second round, and play the Heisman winner, Mendoza.
Wow. Jay.
Yeah, the conversation around Kellen DeBoer and that Michigan job, you know, I don't know. There's a lot. There's something there. You know,
is
I mean,
it?
It's probably, I don't know. It seems like it. I mean, it could be just Aaron's
like
guy,
bullshit.
Jimmy Sexton working the phones or whatever to try to get him another raise. But yeah, Bama just, it's tough for me to take out that SEC championship game out of the memory and how they looked versus Georgia.
Well,
and,
no
and
show.
Overall, yeah. And overall down the stretch, you think of how their season started terrible and it ended terrible. And they're in the playoff because they had a really good, successful run on a very tough schedule. And Bama was very impressive during that middle parts of the year. But, you know, Oklahoma just seemed to be like they were just lying in the weeds kind of, you know, throughout the season. Weren't really talked about because you had Texas A&M, you had Georgia, and, you know, Ole Miss was making this run. You had all this drama with Lane Kiffin. And Oklahoma just kind of, you know, was quiet right there, you know, getting in the tournament. I'm with Aaron on this one. I'd take Oklahoma too.
Yeah. I think we were all shocked with how good Oklahoma's quarterback played in the beginning of the year. Then he gets hurt. So he's supposed to be out for at least minimum 5 games. Comes back after 2 games, right? Looks like shit against Texas, which boosts up Texas' profile. But then they kind of rebound nicely. They're kind of looking like the way they started the season off as like they're going to have a really good fucking team next year. Oklahoma's going to be a team to be reckoned with. Alabama, tough beginning. You're right. Kind of stumbling towards the end. But to go through that gauntlet in the middle of the season, no one else had. They just had a peak too early. Like, that was like their championship. And unfortunately, you kind of need that to happen at the end of the season, not in the middle. I think that took a lot out of them just to make it out of that, what, 6-7 game stretch of 5 ranked teams, having some pretty big wins, inking out stuff at home and on the road. Any other team would have faltered. But yeah, Oklahoma, why not?
Yeah. I think you guys make a good case with the schedule. I mean, Alabama went through that gauntlet, but Oklahoma had a tough stretch too. What they had, Texas, Alabama, Tennessee, they went through that stretch, won those games outside of the Texas one. Matthias should not have been playing. He looked terrible in that game.
He should not have played that
really
game.
Really, Oklahoma as a healthy unit's only lost 1 game all year to Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So, and Bama, like Jason said, they just look beat up. They look tired, and then they had to go play in the SEC game and get beat up. I know they've had 2 weeks, so maybe they're a little refreshed. I think Bama starts strong and then fades, and Oklahoma ends up catching them in the end to win this game.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Saturday games. We got 3. Any other bowl games that you liked or no?
I just went over the playoff games, Rome.
All right, I mean, that's fair. That's fair, man. I know there was a bowl game on the other day, and I just – you know, we used to be a proper country, man. I was like looking at the old logos of the bowl games, the Fiesta Bowl I've been to a few times for some other competitions as well. You know, all the logos, the gear, good stuff. Now just everything's just playoff bullshit fodder, you know, just chuck it all. Miami, Texas A&M, that was my rant for the day. Texas A&M favored by 3 points over under 48. What's up with this?
Yeah, you got the 7-seed A&M versus 10 Miami here, Rome. You know, these first 2 games, the Friday night one and Saturday morning, these are really the intriguing games Saturday. As far as the playoffs are concerned, we got a couple in the afternoon. But, you know, our attention, I think, will be more towards the NFL side of that Saturday afternoon slate of games.
Oh, but, yeah, your guys' game, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Miami, you know, did they deserve to get in the playoff? How are they going to show up? I mean, now they get a common opponent in Notre Dame, and once they get Texas A&M, the difference is they're going on the road. Kyle Field here, going to be 110,000 screaming fans. I saw where Nick Saban said that they, you know, sound is, you know, they add sound to the stadium there to make it sound louder than what it is. But I think A&M's ready to ball out. 2 teams very similar, but A&M coming off that loss against Texas, I think with Marcel Reed, the versatility they get from him at quarterback and movement will be the difference. I think Carson Beck's going to struggle here on the road. I like A&M to win. I like them to win by at least a touchdown or more here.
A&M is really interesting because they kind of had some bad games down the stretch as well, going into the playoffs, a little tumble. Miami, I don't know. I don't know. Jason.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, A&M didn't have the toughest SEC schedule. I mean, Miami, I was high on them at the beginning of the year. You look from a talent perspective, they had one of the more talented teams in the ACC. But, you know, they, for all the playoff talk, they did have losses against some teams that, you know, compared to A&M are a little bit more inferior opponents in the SEC that aren't kind of on this stage. And these are the games, I think, early in the playoffs, these home field advantages, you know, I think really kind of come into play. You know, it's tough to win college games on the road during the regular season. I think we saw, you know, last year and what that home field advantage was for like Notre Dame and some of those other schools in the early rounds. But I think, you know, Texas A&M is always really vaunted. They got the 12th man thing going on there. I think this will be a huge, you know, big atmosphere that it's just going to be a lot for Miami. I think, you know, the turnovers, you mentioned Carson Beck, like, he's had some turnovers that were just been, you know, questionable throughout the season. I don't know if Miami can keep up with it. I'd take Texas A&M as well.
We got Tulane and Ole Miss, 46.5 over under. Tulane heavy underdogs. There was just some drama recently with the coach, but I didn't get a chance to catch up. Do you guys have like the scoop on that with Tulane's head coach?
Well, the one going to Florida?
Yeah. No? Okay, never mind. Heard there's like a little discourse as well with him still coaching, even though Florida wants him there right away. But
well, he's coming. He's coming Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning because Tulane's done. Yeah. I mean, Ole Miss, this is the third matchup in like the last, 15 months between these two teams. I think Mississippi's just going to roll them. I mean, Tulane's got nothing to play for. They made the playoff. Their coach is already out the door going to Florida. Mississippi, I think, has got a lot to prove. This is a game they get a big win, show out without Lane Kiffin, that they are still the team. Great matchup for them. They already beat Tulane. I believe it was like 48-13 earlier in the year. I like Mississippi, Ole Miss to win and cover the 17.5 here at home.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, they already played this year 45-10 at the beginning of the season.
That's what it
was, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've already blown them out. I mean, anybody else playing Ole Miss, you'd think like, oh, they lose their coach and things. But, you know, Tulane, same thing. Their coach is there. But, I mean, this is an entire transitional thing. The guy's probably already working on his recruiting stuff for his next gig. I mean, just – it's just a weird this is the thing with the college football. We want to, you know, have the parity and bring these group of five, but this is an utter waste of a game.
Utter waste. And I feel like I think we talked about it, they could at least like change some of these seedings around, dude. We really didn't need to see a third iteration of Tulane versus Ole Miss even without Lane Kiffin. So I don't know. All right, James Madison plus 21 against Oregon Saturday night?
Yes.
Lovely. I might cash this game. I'm really curious how James Madison does. How about you?
I think James Madison's going to be down 21 points in the first quarter, Rome.
All right.
So I am taking Oregon minus 21, and I like Oregon to route, win this game by double that spread. I think they were going to win by at least 35 points. Oregon wins. I think Oregon's getting healthy at the right time. Setting up a great matchup the next, timeout against Texas Tech. Oregon rolls here at Autzen Stadium.
See, I hope that doesn't happen because it kind of defeats or kind of, you know, demerits the playoff a little bit. I want James Madison to be competitive.
It'd be great if we get a good game, but I don't think James Madison's going to do what Boise State did last year in the regular season to make this a game. We'll see. I mean, James Madison, really their only tough opponent, you know, was Louisville. They lost that game by 2 scores earlier in the year. So, but Oregon, you know, the only thing that worries me about Oregon, you know, we're talking about both their coordinators are gone, or they're there, yeah, but they've took jobs somewhere else. One at Cal up there in Berkeley, where you're at Rome, and the other guy, yes, Will Stein, is going to be the new coach at Kentucky. But I just think Dan Lanning's going to have these guys focus after what happened last year in their only playoff game against Ohio State, in which they got blown out. I think Oregon's prepared. They're rested. They're healthy. They should route James Madison here. This would be my lock of the week as far as college football goes.
Lock of the week. Love it. Jason.
Yeah, I got a similar feeling on this game. It's almost like the committee were, I mean, this will probably be the last, well, definitely the last time I think we get two group of five schools entering the playoff, because I think they got like the Power Four got an auto bids next year for their four championships now, so we don't have this again. And then Notre Dame's got their little stipulation too. And so, I don't know, it's almost like we're going to start legislating the get this. They started, they say, we tried to include the group of five, but literally it's just a different game, and we'll eventually be playing these guys out of the tournament. Like, you have two massive blowouts probably in this game. I think Oregon blows James Madison out, unfortunately, too.
What I would like to see eventually with the playoffs, like,
and James Madison's coach is going to UCLA as well, Rome. So you got a lot of coaches that are already out the door.
And I'm actually looking forward to that hire, man. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's a good hire.
Bruins up. I would like to see in the playoff eventually where 16 teams, you have like your conference championships, like you have your everything's locked in. I wrote it down on a piece of paper one time and I can't find it, but we should come up with like a scenario. But there's at least like two or three like at large, like group of five, or it could be like the fifth team from the SEC, whatever it is. But you really truly try to encapsulate, you know, maybe a wild card or two, but you try to capture as much of like the 12 best teams in the country as possible. I think that's pretty fair. It gives some of the schools a chance to make what they make guaranteed in the first round, $10 million bonus from the TVs, or is it 20 million? I can't remember.
Something like that, Rome. But I think if you get into what you're saying, this was the same conversation of going this to 12. Like, if we get they had no chance of getting in the four. Okay, now we're giving them the chance because we go to 12.
I know. And
I think no matter what, you're going to be complaining about this. I mean, the playoffs, one thing. The bigger thing is the regular season schedules for some of these teams, too.
There's just no point of having conference championships if you're going to have six people for the SEC playing in it. You know, just get rid of it all.
Yeah, I mean, that's been long take. Yeah. I'll say that forever. It's a lot of people saying the conference championship game is just a waste of time. You just either straight up, you know, you put your schedule out there, that's where it is. We're looking at resumes. There's no just bonus game for conference championships. It's like, it's just, you go right into the playoff at that point. You know, in that week versus what we're doing, if you're going to whittle things down. But I'm sure they'll get there. You know, you got to think of where we've been in the last 20 years, from the BCS down to the four teams, now to the 12 teams, and it just get iteration over iteration. I think that the college conference expansion, we'll talk more of that, will be the key, because eventually you're going to start adding more teams, as Aaron and I have talked about with, you know, we start taking away stuff for the SEC, and then you're down to three conferences, basically.
Yeah, I mean, we all know. I mean, the ACC is going to break apart, or at least the big teams in there being Clemson.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so like I said, Clemson.
Clicked on the wrong Twitter link.
Yeah, Clemson. Yeah, obviously, Rome. I don't know what you're watching over there, but we'll be off in a few minutes and get back to that. But, you know, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, like Duke, North Carolina, all those teams are going to get out of the ACC here pretty soon. And given how the ACC has really just botched the whole conference championship, pitting Duke in, I mean, it just makes more sense to get out of it now than ever. They can't even get something that simple that would have had Miami already in the playoff, would have had Notre Dame, and we would not have to watch James Madison be down 35-0 midway through the second quarter, which we're going to see Saturday night. You know, conference championship games, agree, they can go away, but, you know, commissioners and everybody are going to have to agree to that, because right now it's just funneling money to neutral sites. So they're going to have to, you know, figure out how they're going to do that. And like, it's, you know, maybe like you've said, Rome, maybe instead of having conference championship games, we add in wild card championship playoff games for teams to get into the field of 12 or 16. That'd be more entertaining, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, college football landscape is changing year to year. It's getting wild. NIL, conference expansion. Do we get a super league? Like Jason said, we're probably going to have just three power leagues. And then is it going to be group of six, group of nobodies? I don't know. We'll find out.
You know, college football is kind of perfect, like, to model it after like the Premier Leagues, you know, like regulation, all that stuff. There's always changeover, but you can go on like a little run and climb up the ranks, go for a championship. You suck for a few years, you get demoted. Like, let's say like Alabama, right? They went through like a 20-year run where they just sucked. They would have to start all over from the beginning, you know, with Saban. But to see that kind of happening, like, I feel like out of all the sports, college football is perfect to kind of copy that model of what the European leagues are doing for
soccer. I've always thought baseball could do it too, but
baseball? Why baseball?
I mean, you have the same minor league, you know, situation the way if you look at the way European soccer team, it's like small ballparks like that. But I don't think that will ever happen in American sports because there's no tradition in it and it is about money. If anything, you had the Super League in soccer a while back of just they want the guaranteed money. They don't want anyone else having the shot. I have my brand. This is my brand. I'm not doing that. You'll get the same from these college stuff. Like Alabama and these schools ain't sharing money to give James Madison a chance to play their way up to get to place.
Yeah. So, that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to share NIL revenue, but if you have boosters that are willing, you know, I mean, I'm sure James Madison has a booster out there that's worth 100+ million somewhere that could donate 5 million here and there.
Yeah, it's a good thought, Rome. I like relegation. I'm not the biggest soccer fan, but like soccer's overall structure, I think is great.
It's kinda cool.
It is cool. I think it's good. But yeah. I mean, but then again, that is about money too. Because if you look at some of the top teams in the English Premier League, it's hey, who got bought by like, you know, the Qatari government or something like that, and then like you just have all of these wealthy investors that took this team with no history, and now they're on the top of the EPL.
Oh. Every time there's a team that gets, you know, deregulated, like there's always like a lawsuit, coming after it. There was a team that was supposed to move up this past year, and they can't because like some lawsuits happening. It's kind of bullshit. But
well, that's why you have to pit a group of five team in the playoff because of litigation and lawsuits. They would get sued if you basically said you were a small nobody and you don't deserve to play with the big boys. Okay, well I'll just sue you.
I think Joe Klatt said that on the radio. It's straight out. And kind of caught everyone by guard, off guard with that.
It's just real because you're thinking about, you know, there's a lot of antitrust liar stuff, exemptions with the government and stuff. And yeah, you'll get lawsuits and, you know, you think about like some of the competition stuff with some of the leagues where they get exceptions of the monopoly stuff. You know, it's all legalese stuff that you're getting to these points.
Yeah, I think eventually... I mean, I would say this. Boise State obviously got into the playoff last year, but I thought Boise State was a worthy top 12 team, regardless if they were Power 5 or Group of 5. I thought they were a top 12 college team last year.
Agreed.
So, Rome, like your point saying, like, I want the 12 best in. If it is a Group of 5 and they have two or three, then great. But this year, I don't think any of the Group of 5 belongs in the top 12 if we were just doing the top 12 college football teams.
Well, that's what I think. You know, if there's just like already like four, you know, at large and just have the rules there, you know, like however that looks like it can kind of change from year to year because it could be Boise State and another team, you know. It could be more. I don't fucking know.
It'll just be tough to get the resume. Like you're going to need like you look at Boise's resume, like they took the number one team in the nation that went undefeated to the limit, and then they won all their remaining games. So like they had the strong resume that they competed in that thing. So like it'll be tough to replicate that resume on like somebody else because that loss to Oregon kept Boise State in it. Even remember they had some close games in the Mountain West that people would have been shrugging their fingers like they would have lost. It would have been more questions about that resume. So I mean there was a little bit of a lightning in bottle with Boise State that. You know, like Tulane got two losses and, you know, where James Madison was at, like these group of five things won't be as clear cut as Boise State was the entire season last year.
Yeah. The issue too, like Jason touched on, is scheduling. Like, do you want to go out and play a group of five team knowing that their schedule conference wise is weak and yours is tough? Like if you're Alabama, would you want to go play at James Madison or would you pit Saddell on your schedule and beat him by 50 knowing you have to play Georgia, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, all in a 5-week stretch, like playing James Madison and then having to pay them money to play them. And just, it makes no sense.
I'll say, Rome, you mentioned another rule saying my thing is that it should be not allowed that FBS schools should be able to schedule anything below the FBS.
I agree.
You shouldn't be able to play Georgia East, Southwest Eastern Georgia State or whatever like that. Like, you know, that should be because the SEC schools get away with that like way too much where they're three non-conference games.
I believe that's gone now since these conferences are going to 9 games. So I believe all that FBS is done now.
I'll believe when I see it.
I don't know, man. I feel like they got 9 games and now it'll still be two teams still on that stuff. So I just
I know. I think the Big Ten, you still have to schedule with the 9 conference schedule, 3 power conference or group of 5 teams. So there, I think at least the Big Ten has gotten rid of it. The SEC, we'll see.
SEC likes good cupcake, dude.
I mean, look at Florida State's got a couple next year on the schedule, so I already got 2 wins I marked down.
I mean, I don't never say Notre Dame's got the toughest schedule in there, but they only schedule FBS schools. Like, they aren't scheduling any of these SCS, but they might be, after this year, they may have to because no one wants to play Notre Dame apparently now. So,
yeah. Who was that team that beat them last year?
Northern Illinois.
There you go. Okay.
But they're FBS. They're in the MAC, man. They're doing MACtion.
That's right. I just never keep up with the MACtion.
These Tuesday nights. That's not Tuesday nights on ESPN. Remember, the MAC used to always be on Tuesday nights.
Yeah. Final comments for the playoffs?
I think atmosphere-wise, these are the games you're kind of excited for. I mean, I think I get probably that Texas A&M game will be pretty interesting, just, you know, at what Kyle Field would be like. You know, thinking back to what last year at Notre Dame and I think that Ohio State-Tennessee game and how cool that was. So I think it's going to be a good round, at least for 2 of those games. Unfortunately for Tulane and James Madison, I don't think it's going to be the best showing, but looking forward to the other 2.
Yeah, I agree. Friday night, Norman, Oklahoma, going to be wild. Then 9 a.m. Saturday, Kyle Field at College Station there in Texas. Going to be a great game, I believe. Again, I'm riding with all home teams to get a clean sweep. And if they do, I think the second round of this playoff, for the matchups that are out there, if it comes true, we're going to have some good second round matchups.
Nice. Looking forward to it. That's it. All right. Looking forward to recapping it. I was going to say something else, but I totally forgot. I don't know if I should have coffee or just take a quick nap right now.
I think you should just go to bed, Rome, if you're complaining about 4 hours of sleep only. It's called the showers and call it a night, and then you can start fresh at like 7 a.m.
It's been too many 4-hour nights. It's starting to catch up. All right. Cool. That'll do it for the Sports on the Sofa. I'll try to push out at least this college football section right away on YouTube and everything all together before the weekend. Catch us next time. We're out.